Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and today we're indoors again because it's about to rain, and I don't want to get my phone wet. That's a good excuse, right? It's pretty pathetic. So anyway, I don't need an excuse to be indoors. It's beautiful. You hear the podcast, and we have a lot of fun. Today we're talking about bring home the bacon. And look, I can't emphasize enough the importance of this concept in your brain that. What you bring home to your house eventually becomes your children's energy. What you bring home from your work eventually becomes your children's life. What you bring home to your relationship eventually becomes your children's paradigm. Now, if you come home every day frustrated, annoyed, exhausted, angry, bitter, twisted, joyful, if you come home from work every day with some sense of pride that you've exerted yourself and earned a buck, this is what you transfer to your children. If you come home every day thinking, I've been persecuted at the office because I'm a woman, I've been persecuted because I'm a man, I've been persecuted because I'm gay, you bring that persecution complex back into your home. And of course, you try to compensate. There's no choice. If you think the world is not treating you fairly out in the big wide working world, you'll try to be over-treated fairly in your big wide relationship world. If you think you're diminished and not important in the working world, you'll try to be important and admonished, or whatever the opposite is, in your private world, meaning you'll flirt and you'll try to get some level of compensation, can we call it. So what's really important in building your sense of personal presence, in building a sense of personal integrity, personal mastery, is to find your integrity in each of the seven areas of life, to find your balance in each of the areas of life, to find your vision in each of the areas of life, and therefore avoid the concept of compensatory behavior. Compensatory behavior means you don't bring it home. Compensatory behavior means you go to work, you work in a job you might love, and then you come home going, but I'm not in the relationship I love. Or you work in a job that you might feel important because people admire you, you're a boss, you're a leader, you're a person of significance, and therefore you're a person of power. And you might come home and want to be overpowered. You might come home and want to give up that power and just be a passive in the domestic environment. And your partner will be chosen very carefully by you to give you that quality. And the thing is, whether that is sustainable or not is it going to be the next question you ask, because sustainability means that your partner will always be happy to be off the authority in love. The sustainability depends on your work to always make you feel that you are important and you're beautiful or you're special or you're clever. The sustainability of this model is fraught with potential changes. And I think when you throw your relationship and your family dynamic into the mix with your work dynamic, you create this incredibly complicated and incredibly sad, in a sense, juxtaposition, this sort of potential of opposites attracting. And so what you get, if you feel diminished at work and you don't feel like you got the pay rise or somebody got the job ahead of you, or your boss puts you down, or you feel disengaged from the work, you'll want automatically, it is no sense of choice in this. If you feel something at work, the opposite must be true somewhere else in your life, and you will seek it. So if you are in a relationship with a person and that person doesn't value you, you'll go seeking someone in the world to value you. And that's the source of an affair. If you feel overvalued in your relationship, you'll seek freedom in your work, and you'll want to work longer hours because your partner is so dependent on you. So all of these compensatory things become like a child's swinging backwards and forwards. And if you push it a little bit every day, the swing gets higher. Let's push a little bit every day and the swing gets higher. So instead of taking away the momentum from these polarities which cause unsustainable lifestyles and unsustainable things, what we do is give them a little nudge every day, a little more help, a little bigger swing, a little bigger spread. And next thing you know, we're wondering why in the hell our life is sort of turned a bit pear-shaped, turned a bit complicated, turned a bit sad. And the reason is the sadness doesn't come from the area of life that the sadness is coming from. For example, if we are sad in our relationship, it's probably our work that caused it. That we got over-promoted, over-grandified, over-glorified, over-attracted to, over-flirted with, over-powered, over-acknowledged, over-paid, over-everything at work, and we created an under at home. And this over-under thing is so much the intrinsic part of society's, the way of Western people living, that we don't even know it exists. And what I've tried to do by taking you and the thousands of people who listen to this work with Inner Wealth, what I've tried to do is take out this compensatory condition of balancing work with home or home with work. The mission I have is to bring you home from work with more energy than you left home with in the morning. That's my gold-plated mission of my existence on this planet. I believe that relationships are the core fundamental principle on which success can be built. And when you find a person who's thriving in their domestic situation, you'll find a person who can also thrive in their work situation. Now, thriving doesn't mean infatuation. Thriving means love. And love is a very, very hard word to understand, because to a person who has no money, they will love the person who gives them money. To the person who has no food, they will love the institution that feeds them. The person who has no shelter, they will love the shelter. So we can acknowledge that when we get what we want, we can call it love. But this is not the love I'm talking about. This is far from the love I'm talking about. That's the love that of getting what we want is the love of spontaneous gratification. It's the love of instant gratification. It's the love of getting what we want as quickly as we want, whenever we want. That's a love, and I understand that being a love that some people would define, but it's not the way I define it, because I'm trying to help people get out of the compensatory experience. And the compensatory experience is built on instantaneous gratification. I want it now, and if I get it, I'm happy. If I haven't got it, I'm not happy, and I'll be sad, therefore I'll go seek it somewhere else. And this is cause of affairs, it causes of people disgruntled with their work, it talks, and what ultimately it causes us to do, it causes us to be attached to things. So we go to work and someone says, you did a bad job, and we get upset. We go, well, why would we get upset about the job we do when the job we do isn't us? Why would I get upset about if someone says I'm overweight if my weight isn't me? And I think the purpose of doing the spiritual, there's seven areas of life, the purpose of doing the spiritual area of life is to disengage yourself from the things that aren't really you, the things that are external to you, the things that are, we could honestly say, are the things you do. So your weight is not you, it's the thing you do. Your diet is not you, it's the thing you do. Your feelings are not you, it's the things you do. The work is not you, it's the thing you do. And your relationship is not you, it's the thing you do. What is you is when you strip all those things away, as I have done, and stand on the edge of a cliff in absolutely a state of manic, suicidal mania, lost everything. Lost your money, lost your house, lost your car, lost your partner, lost your kids, lost your ego, lost your sense of self, lost your identity, lost your pride, lost your dignity, lost your everything. Lost, all gone, and stripped down. And all you are is a soul inhabiting a body that has no attachment. And in that moment, you realize that life is the most magnificent thing, that life without attachment can be the most paradise place, because you are free to love unconditionally. And you choose the place where you express that love, because not many people are ready for it. You choose the place where you give that love. You love your work. You love your house. You love your car. You love your phone. You can choose where you love, because that love is not bound by you being attached to the thing, which causes you to have expectation of return from the love. You give it, you give the love to something and you say, I love my business. I love my job. I love trees. I love the flowers. And God is in the details. God is in the small things. So if we can't love a flower, if we can't love a piece of grass or an ant or a frog or a grasshopper or a bird or a snake or a kangaroo or something, if we can't love the little things in life, the big things become just jokes. It's just a joke. And I see people studying yoga and the big books of yoga and the great philosophy of yoga who hate real life experience. What people are trying to do perpetually is create a model of how life should be rather than to love it for as it is. We don't get to choose everything that takes place in the planet. Donald Trump has got his finger on the button. Kim Jong-il has got his finger on the button. We don't know. Tomorrow could be a nuclear bomb and there could be a million people less on this planet. We don't have the power to fret and worry. But if we get attached, if we say, I am hereby accountable for how many people exist on this planet, if I get attached to what the planet looks like, how many people are on it, whether there's a nuclear war or not, we get expectations. If we get expectations, we can't love. Now, our job, if you're following inner wealth, is to love life. That's a bottom line. We only have two options in this world. We only have two options. Live with an open heart or live with a closed heart. Live with an open heart means if you have a relationship breakup, you love the person who did it, say thank you, fuck off, I've got a life, and learn from it. You don't befriend the people of the past and say, oh, you're my best friend, thank you for fucking me over and cheating and lying on me. You go, thank you very much for showing me how I was cheating and lying to myself. Thank you for the journey. Thank you for the lesson. Are all the lessons done here now? No, yes. Okay, if they are, time to move on. We don't move on from anger. We don't move on from resentment. We don't move on saying you stole something or you hurt me or you killed me or you did something bad to me. We move on saying, thank you for the lesson. That's the only way to move forward. It's a way of love. And that is inner wealth. That is how you live in this world in a spiritual way without becoming a bookworm. A bookworm or someone who reads in a book. Oh, if I'm Buddhist, I should seek peace. Well, fuck that. If someone writes in a book and says, oh, if I love Jesus, Jesus will love me back. Fuck that. I say, if you can't love reality, what's going on? Work is not work. Work is a place where you earn money. Money is something that you don't have to be attached to, but you can spend and earn and use. You don't have to be attached to these things. Work is just work. It's a job. The question is, how can you use the most time, effort, energy to get the most return? That's the question over and over again. How do I increase my value? How do I raise the value of my giving so that I raise the value of my receiving? And that is an infinite question for life, because ultimately what I say when it comes to humility is, how do I make a global impact? If Jesus has the right to stand up and say, I'm the Son of God, and be humble to that, that's the definition of humility. I am the Son of God. Imagine if you walk around saying, oh, I'm the son of Jesus, or I'm the daughter of Jesus, or something like that. People would say, you are so self up yourself. You are so thing. But actually what you're saying is not that I am so important. Is what you're saying is, I am so humble to a gift that I've been blessed with, that I can't believe that that little me, the one who was born in this little country town, or little me, the one that was born in this little family, can transcend the culture of my family, can transcend the culture of my relatives, can transcend the culture of my society, and actually perceive myself humble to a greater power than grandma, grandpa, mum, dad, brother, sister, auntie, uncle, everybody. To actually step out into your own power and stand up and say in the world, I will really use what I've been given by the creation to make a difference. And then the question is, what will that be? Because everybody asks me the same question. What's my purpose? What's my thing? And I say, you don't have to ask the question, what's my purpose? You've been living it. You've sabotaged every single thing that gets in the way of your purpose since you found your purpose. So some people say, oh, I've had so many relationships. You go, no, you just sabotaged those relationships when they got to a point that they blocked your purpose in life. You go, but I don't know my purpose in life. And I say, yes, you do. Intrinsically, deep inside your soul, deep inside your heart, you know when you're on track and you know when you're off track. And when you're off track, it means that a relationship, or it means your job, or it means your health, or it means your sport has become too important, or money has become too important, and you sabotage the money away because you're not doing your thing anymore. And I know for a fact that we attract calamity, disaster, and humbling circumstances. Humbling circumstances when we get off track, even if we don't know what the track looks like. And I would like to suggest that the track is love. When you are loving the world, when you are doing what you would love to give the world, not by righteousness, I'm right, the world is wrong. That's just stupid. That's going to cause terrorism. You become a terrorist when you say, I'm right, you're wrong. And you become a terrorist when you say, you're right, I'm wrong. There's no need to put more terrorism on this planet. We've already got enough, thank you very much, righteousness and religious piousness and people making polarity in yoga and Buddhism and things, people making right and wrong. We've got enough of that shit. We need people like you to step up and say love is important. And love is defined as the balance of all things. So if Trump is going to push a button, there's got to be a good side and a bad side. Let it go. Detach yourself from it. It's not your problem. But if you love the dolphin, you might stand up and say, I know there's a good side to dying dolphin. I know there's a bad side to dying dolphin, but my love is saving the dolphin. If you say, I know there's a good side to war in Africa. I know there's a bad side to war in Africa, but I love to help Africa. Help Africa. Do it with love and you'll make a difference. And after you're dead from this body, it's going to happen eventually to every human being by accident or by slow suicide or by long-term staying. One of the reasons will eventually mean you can't be here in the physical way. You'll only be here in the spiritual way, and your spirit will continue to do its work. Now, until you believe in the virtual reality of life, until you believe that your spirit is within you and transcends you, you are stuck in the closed heart syndrome. Because to have an open heart, you have to believe in something greater than yourself. And that is the spirit. That people can't die. There's no way they can die. They just change form from inner body to outer body. Nothing to cry about. That person doesn't care. That one who went from body to nobody, they're still love. They're still happy. They're still inspired. And that energy will go in another body somewhere. And one day you may bump into a person. You go, wow. I had a friend who died when I was 12 years old, and then now I'm 40, 50 years old, and boom, I bumped into somebody, and I feel like I've known them forever. And you go, my God, I wonder if the spirit of my friend that was 12 inhabited the body of the person I'm standing opposite right now. And actually, it's not a new person I'm meeting, it's a memory of a beautiful spirit inhabiting a body, and I would love to spend time with both. That's impossible. That's the possibility of living when you live with an open heart. You have to get past the material attachment of the world and see that going to work to earn a dollar is very important. Doesn't matter. The question at work is, how do I raise my value so I earn most value for the time that I spend at work? That's just simple. It's mathematics. You don't have to be worried about, is it the work I love? Is it my purpose? Is it my shit? You go, how do I raise my value? Now, if you were a wood chopper for 10 years and you were the world champion wood chopper for 10 years, would you suddenly stop chopping wood and announce to the world, I'm going to be a surgeon? Well, that's not nature's way. She never turns a tree into a cat. She evolves it. What she does is she says, I'll evolve that tree. I'll make it more conscious. What's that mean? A more conscious tree is a tree that can actually absorb carbon dioxide and put out more oxygen faster. More conscious is to be able to do something faster. Greater in consciousness, less in number. What's less in number mean? Well, it does mean something. It means less wasted time with friends, less social time, less stuffing around, less confusion, less distortion, less illusion, less emotion, less of all these things, more love. Greater in consciousness, less in number. When we talk about inspiration, we say inspiration is when the inner voice, your inner voice, inside you there's a voice, is louder than the outer voices. Now, what are the outer voices? The outer voices are opinions of other people. The outer voices are emotions of yours. Outer voices are the impressions that come to you from the environment. Outer voices are your attachments. So when you finally say, I earn money and money is money, I can do what I want, it's a very important thing. I love money, I love what I can do with it, but I'm not attached to it. But I will work to optimize my value for money. You have to say to yourself, the wood chopper would be wise before they change their path to say, I'm the wood chopper who also does this. Because that is evolving from the past into the future. It's morphing through a transition into something. And it always will be, I'm the world champion wood chopper who now does this thing. And therefore there's a brand, there's a legitimacy, and there's a sort of a unique flavor to the thing. If the wood chopper becomes a bus driver, hi, I'm the wood chopper who became a bus driver. Well, what do you know? It's a strong driver. It's a driver with confidence. It's a driver who knows how to keep control. It's a so therefore that morphing is maybe a different career eventually, but it's not starting from zero. And that's the problem with people always going, oh, I'm going to a seminar. They say, do anything you want. And you go, oh, I'm going to morph into this new career. And you go, yeah, but you're not famous in the new career. You're not well known in the new career. You're not experienced in the new career. You don't have any reputation in the new career. But you, and therefore, you're going to get paid shit because you are just a baby in the new career. Wouldn't it be smart to say, well, I'm coming from this background. Now, for my sake, I was an engineer. I started my life as an environmental engineer. I started building air pollution systems, and I'm a mechanical engineer with environmental specialty. Bit by bit by bit, I got better and better and bigger in that field until I was a world champion in that way. And then I morphed, went to university for 2 years, gave up everything, full time, 2 years university, gave up everything for 2 years and came back out the other side. And I was then the engineer who built a big business who now actually talks to big business. So I had a history that added value to the mystery of the future. I didn't start, come out the front door and go, oh, by the way, I don't have any history. I don't have any past. I don't have any background. I'm just a new guy with an MBA wanting to set up a management consulting business with zero credibility. And I'm going to start from scratch. No, I took all the history, all the work through Asia, 5 years working almost 6 months a year traveling in Asia, doing business with people of such strange habitual behaviors, that are the cultural differences. I had to learn at a vertical learning curve how to do business in all over Asia, Korea, Philippines, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia. I had to learn how to do business in all those places in such a short window of time. And therefore, that's a merit for me to carry into the next place, which was my engineering business. And so with my engineering business, I knew I was starting a new business, engineering, but I took my background in Asia and said, I know how to do business in Asia in engineering. And then I took that power and moved it forward. And then eventually did the MBA. And I came out with the MBA saying, now I've got an MBA, I can be a consultant, but I can't be a fresh consultant, otherwise I'm still 22 years old. And I wasn't, I was 34. So what I said was, I'm an engineer who worked in Asia, who understands the power of Asia, understands the understanding of managing a big business in the engineering world, who's a management consultant. Well, guess what? I got 60 jobs in the first year in consulting, in engineering, who wanted to go to take their business into Asia. So my unique string, my unique theme of my career became the core strength. And yet some people would say to me at that time, cut off the Asia thing, nobody wants to know. Cut off the engineering thing, nobody wants to know. Be a management consultant, everybody wants to know that. And I go, no, can't work. Maybe I did try, I don't know. And then I became a professional speaker. And the professional speaker was a management consultant who's doing speaking, whose background includes engineering, who worked in Asia. And therefore, the speaking has Nepal woven into it all through the Asian thing. It has engineering logic and the understanding of factory process. It has an understanding of business in Asia, and it has management consulting experience for 10 years woven into that. See, it's about morphing into evolution. And the definite evolution is this in life. And I finish with this in this podcast. Nature evolves everything. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. That's the power of an open heart. You don't have a choice. Nature evolves everything on this planet. Even a grain of sand is not the same grain of sand it was a billion years ago on this planet. So nature evolves everything. The definition of nature is evolution is greater in consciousness. What's that mean? Get things done faster. Less in number means less confusion, less dilution. And so as you rise in your career and rise in your life and rise in love, you go, you peel away what you think was love before. You peel away what you think is work before. You peel away things and you go, now if I spend 1 hour of work, I get paid $1,000. Why? Why does $1,000 equal 1 hour of work? Because I peeled away everything that's a waste of time in that 1 hour, and I did 1 hour that's worth $1,000, not 1 hour that's worth 20 or 10 or 5 or 6 or $1. But if I want to change my career and jump onto a new platform and tomorrow become a brain surgeon, then I will get paid $1 per hour until such time as I can prove that I'm good at my job, and then I will get $1,000 for 1 hour. I peel away what is irrelevant. So the question for you is, how do you peel away what is irrelevant in your job today? Are you doing things? Are you, for example, if you are a personal assistant to somebody in an office, are you cleaning the toilets? Because that's the lowest part of your career. That's the dollar per hour you get paid for the lowest thing you can't peel away. But the wise thing would be if somebody, if they were a personal assistant in a business and their toilets needed cleaning, is to hire somebody in for $1 an hour and stay at $50 an hour or $100 an hour as a personal assistant. To ask the question, what am I getting paid $50 for, and do that for the 1 hour. Not allow any single thing to come in there and dilute the value of your worth. And that is called humility. That's called humility. To stay humble to the gift you've been born with, by the power greater than yourself, is to live with an open heart and to shrink to the smallest job that can be possible. Oh, by the way, would you sweep the footpath? Yeah, sure, I can sweep the footpath. I make a phone call, I hire in a footpath sweeping company with a blower and get them to do it in 15 minutes, and I stay on my track doing this podcast. Then I get paid $1,000 for 1 hour, and the person on the footpath gets paid $20 per 1 hour, and everyone's completely okay. That's evolution. That's how we rise in life. And you can ask yourself, how do I rise in love, my relationship? What is the time I spend in that relationship that's worth $1 an hour, and what is the time in that relationship that is worth $1,000 an hour? For me, standing on the clifftop, looking out to the ocean, holding the hand of the person I love, is $1 million an hour compared to watching TV, compared to cleaning the dishes. Oh no, I can make cleaning the dishes romantic. It's no problem. But the question is, if we are evolving and we want to treat ourselves as an open-hearted, powerful person, we must start to ask the question, what can we peel away that is not $1,000 an hour time? If you want to be valued in this world as a global presence, a powerful entity, you have to start treating yourself as someone who is worth that amount. Not just money, but in energy and in world changing and in love and in consciousness and in spirit. And then you have to ask these questions, these hard questions of yourself. What am I doing that's not worth that amount of money? Therefore, you won't attract calamity, disaster, and humbling circumstances, because if you treat yourself less than you say you're worth, You will attract calamity, disaster, and humbling circumstance to put you back and say, oh God, I'm worth more than this. Think of it. The times you've been in shit jobs and you've attracted a calamity, disaster, and humbling circumstance, and what have you said? I'm fucking worth more than this. What happened when you're in a relationship and you got treated like shit by your partner and you stood up and said, I'm fucking worth more than this? Everything nature's saying is get back and carve away, distill, take out the stuff that's low-hanging fruit, the shit that's in the job, the shit that's in the relationship. Take it out. Subcontract it. Distill it. Give it away. And hold the space. I'm not saying what it is. It might be singing. It might be picnic. It might be bushwalking. It might be making love. It, whatever it is, work out what expresses what is in your heart to the best on a global, universal, conscious level. What expresses your spirit to your partner best, and do more of it and do less of what is low priority. The gift of living in Asia for Asian people is there is an automatic hierarchy of very low paid people who think that actually washing someone's dishes is a very high paid job. And therefore, there is merit in giving that person a work for $1 an hour, because for them that's good pay. But it doesn't mean that we should do the dishes ourselves. And it's not cruel to delegate that to somebody else, because that's their merit. And it frees us up to do what we're valued. So the question all begins with this conversation. Are you evolving? Are you reconsidering the way you invest your beautiful life force in this world, in your love life, in your work life? Are you reconsidering every day whether you take on board someone else's shit, someone else's low paid work, and they give you a job and they say, here, this job is worth $100 an hour. And then they give you toilet cleaning all the way to flying the airplane. And you say, if I don't clean the toilets, if I don't do the food service up and down, if I don't fill the tires full of air and I don't fuel the aeroplane, if I just turn up and do the flying job, how much will it be worth? And they say, well, there's less hours. You go, yeah, I know. How much will it be worth? And they say, $5,000 an hour to just fly an aeroplane. You go, that's the work I'm going to do. That's what's called evolving. And it doesn't come unless you value yourself for what you know. And the only way to value yourself for what you know is to take the history of everything that you've achieved, all your investment, where you did what you did, and add it up and invent a new career at the end of that and say, I am the hybrid amalgamation of the history of my life, pointed, come to a razor sharp point right now with what I can deliver in value to the world. And then know that and never, ever, ever compromise it, or you attract calamity, disaster, and humbling circumstance. Do the same thing in your relationship. Say, I'm the history and I'm the amalgamation and the accumulation of everything I've ever done in love. And I'm bringing that in a razor sharp, in a needle point, to meet another human being in love. With all of that great big aircraft carrier of power, that ship, that massive ocean liner of power behind me, it comes to a tiny little point at the front where the ship first touches the first piece of water when the water is coming towards the ship. That front bow, that point on the front of the ship, has to be your relationship with another human being. You bring it all to a point and you focus on that point and you deliver at that point, and you do not go halfway down the ship and say, here's the mediocrity of my half valuable thing and please pay me $10 an hour for my existence, because at the front it's worth infinite, not just money, infinite. That's the job. Refinement, distillation, letting go, cutting away, moving forward, standing up and recognizing your own worth. That is called humility. Have a beautiful day. Bye for now.